Hello, mate.
Hey, mate.
Why has it been so long?
I don't know. I was just thinking that before we started. God, it's echoey on this. Hang on, let me see if I turn it down.
He's in his new studio. Used to be a
Is that
pub.
better?
Oh yeah,
Is
that's
that
good.
better?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
All right, we're good. We're good. Maybe a bit more.
Oh, should have done this at the
Yeah, that's better. That's better.
How are we?
Yeah, good. Good.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, we were in a bit of a groove, weren't we? We were doing like one a week and then.
One a week and then Christmas. Literally Christmas. Christmas happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
But yeah.
and I haven't really got back on track since, have we?
No, I don't know what to do with my fucking arm at the minute. Know what to do with my hands. It stings. Anyway, nice to have you back.
Yeah, good to be back.
What's been going on?
Not a lot really. I've been
There you go.
working a lot.
Thank you for coming on.
That's it.
That's it, we're done. Just working. Super busy with the world famous.
But not it's not a bad thing. It's just tied up a lot of my time recently, but I have been playing my guitar a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
Recently, I sort of taken the pub out of what is now my studio. The old studio's still up and running, but it's got its problems being a shed, as you know, because you've got one. And
Yeah.
my equipment was getting damp, and it's just not. It's not ideal. And I thought, to be honest, the pub was good when we first did it because we couldn't go to the pub, but I can go to the pub now and I spend very little time actually in it. And like with the football game coming up and you and the girls come in to stay with us, thought we could probably make better use of that space.
Good idea.
And it's with working as much as I do at the moment, which hopefully I can get on top of and free up some actual time for myself. I realize I have been neglecting a lot of stuff that not only do I enjoy doing, but I'm good at. And having a space that is readily accessible and I can close off from the rest of the house, sit down and like last night was the first time I actually looked through my photos from New York.
Oh yeah, 'cause you had a
And
lovely trip away.
yeah. And but I think with slight caveat here, we jokingly did an autism test for me at work yesterday. I want to make sure that I'm lying with
How much tism
I,
have
I,
got? He's got all of it.
I scored 19 out of 30.
19 out of 30.
19 out of 30, and the
Is
outcome
that quite
was,
high on the tism spectrum?
yeah. But the funny, because I do have OCD, I think that is on the spectrum anyway. So it would be, it obviously, do you have intrusive thoughts? Yes. that sort of stuff. And I think what I've realized is that my OCD works in two ways. I either really obsess over stuff or I give myself, like that I will never look at them. And it's something like I just need to force myself back into the habit, and hopefully I can not obsess, and all I do is look over photos and play my guitar because
Yeah, I
I got
got you.
other things that I got to do. But the main point of it was that I enjoy doing those stuff and I need a space to do it. Therefore, we have this.
Yeah, you're also very artistically minded, so you probably need.
Oh, it that happened stuff. Early.
Oh, what?
It's
gone funny. I think it might be mine.
And a bit robocopy.
Let me just. It might kick me out a sec, but hold on. Let me put my. Because for some reason, it doesn't like my booster anymore.
Okay. Well, you are back to normal now. I can hear you.
Do I bother going to the hotspot or just leave it as is?
It seems all right at the minute.
All right, well, we'll change it if it need be. What I said was, you're quite artistically minded. You like doing...
Yeah, I do.
Art stuff.
Again, like, I don't want to self-diagnose, but I think what's happened, because in my everyday life these days, I have to be like super organized and I try my best to have everything routine. That in itself takes away from the fact that I used to be a bit more like, I clearly always had things that I've done, like showering used to be a massive thing for me when we worked in a gym. Like I'd shower two or three times a day. And that was probably signs of the whole OCD thing, but it was focused on that. So it allowed me to be the creative type that the other side of my brain likes to be. Whereas nowadays, because I have to routinely do things in a set pattern every single day of my life, the creative side has had to take like the back seat. So whereas I wouldn't mind just leaving something out, now that's where the tism focuses, and it's like, no, that's, and so the creative side takes a huge back seat. Because like it's a well-known fact, like creative people, like Murph, for example, that I work with, he's like super creative, but he's so messy. Because that's not where his brain is focused. His brain is,
I'm not focusing on that crap over there. I want to do with.
Yes, exactly.
That's the only way I could describe it. But nobody could... yeah. Unless you're watching on Spotify or YouTube, you don't know what I'm doing. I'm doing things with my hands.
but
I get that.
It's. I think what I'm trying to do, because it's. Because of how the TISM works, it really fucks with your personality at times, and whereas I've always been quite a affectionate person, I've become more withdrawn. And do you know what? It's probably a lot to do with like lockdown and being isolated away from people.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
It's a knock-on effect that my brain shifted and adjusted to where I am currently, but that's not the Darren that people like my friends, family, that's not the Darren that they like, that they love. I mean, you can fucking relate, I expect, due to like having the issues you had with like depression, anxiety, or that's another thing. Like I've become an immensely anxious person due to things like intrusive thoughts, like I'm not good enough because I've had to work late. Therefore, when I come home, I'll keep myself away from my family because it's not fair on you that I've come home at 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. Which is absolute nonsense, but that's where my brain goes to. That's just
I used to have those horrible intrusive thoughts all the time when I was when I first got this job. Mine was, you're just not good enough, mate. You're never going to move house. You're never going to get what you want to do. You're never going to do anything. You're stuck in a dead end job.
Yeah,
and what what do you provide for your wife and kids? And then in reality, I've got a good job.
Everything. Everything. You
I've got a
provide
house.
everything. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
It's
madness.
mad because like I go through it pretty much weekly. And it's like, in terms of my job, I hit the ceiling in 2015, which is mad, right? In reality, the depressive or intrusive thought comes in. It's like, well, what the fuck? Like, this is it. But I run the busiest restaurant. Like, for example, I have meetings with like Deliveroo, so I look really weird in this. But I like, and we've got the busiest independent restaurant in our area, which includes South Wales, which includes Cardiff, which, if you actually think about that, that is fucking nuts.
Capital of Wales,
Exactly.
and we're not a Hereford's not in Wales for
No,
those.
but it's we're
I
included
know.
in.
No,
But I
I'm just
mean,
gonna get ha ha Hereford's in Wales. It's fucking not.
it's not. It's very close. I'm going to Wales end of the week, actually. Going to see Mum.
Oh yeah,
That was
she's
a
coming.
really, really deep way to start a fun
Yeah,
podcast, wasn't it?
but
But
I
yeah,
don't mind
that's
a bit.
that in reality, that is why I am now in this room rather than in
Yeah.
my padded cell at the end of my garden. But
Yeah.
yeah, I'm going to go to Wales, going to see Mum.
Yeah. Well, she's coming to me today at some point.
Yeah.
Or
Oh yeah,
tomorrow,
big
whenever.
3-7 tomorrow, isn't it?
Oh! Late 30s.
Yeah. It's funny though, isn't it? It's because like I'd like to be in a position where rational thinking is. And rational thinking is that like I'm in my 40s now and I'd like to enjoy it because it's fine being 40, but there's
Yeah,
times
it's
that I'm
fine.
just like, I'm fucking old, man. Like,
Yeah.
it like and like I hate that because I'd like to think, right? So you listen to podcasts as well. You listen to like Bill Burr, Brian Callen, Joe Rogan, and they seem completely content with being in their 50s
Yeah.
and enjoying their life. But I'd like to think at times that they are literally like, oh, fuck, I'm old.
Rogan probably does that every time he gets in that ice bath.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be nice if like you could hear Joe Rogan when he is in that place where he's like, oh, this is shit. Because I'm sure he has those thoughts. It's a bit like the whole social media thing when people post like, and you compare yourself to social other people on social media and be like, you see like these influencers. You see these influencers and you think, how the fuck have they got to the point that they've got so many followers? And like, I'm putting out better content. That's like you very rarely see me post on Instagram because I got so fed up with posting, like, especially my gym stuff that used to gut me that it would be the same people that like my photos and it wasn't getting the reach that I wanted, and it used to infuriate me. And I think we've
I
gone
hate
over
the
this
fact,
before.
yeah, I hate the fact that now, in a way, you have to sort of pay for that advertising slot.
Yeah, and it should be a natural thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if you put out good content, you get more followers. I think consistency is key. I
Yeah,
think that
that's
you
one
have
thing
to
I need to do with the
You have to
podcast I need to do.
consistently do stuff, and if it's worth watching, if it's worth listening to, then people will. But what annoys me and has always annoyed me, and I've talked about it on my podcast, I've talked about it on your podcast, it's infuriating that a girl with a big ass can get so many thousands of likes for not really doing anything. And yet I sit in front of my computer making my photos look as perfect as possible, and I get 20 likes, and it's like, and, oh man,
yeah.
Like,
and it's
and thinking of like really, really deep things to write, and like it's just like nobody really gives a shit, do they? And
no.
that was always like a fucking massive kick in the bollocks for me.
Yeah, and I think it's still the case as well, because what annoys me, and we've talked about this loads, I think, is the fact that it's back day, or it's push pull day or arm day, and it's just you in those tiny fucking hot pant shorts. It's like, we know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're selling yourself as, well, I bet you if you click on their bio, it'll also have the link tree.
A spicy pic.
Yeah. Click on my spicy. Fucking spicy. But yeah. It's the same with some podcasts. It's like, I found that I've had some fucking outstanding guests and things, and it's like,
thank you.
Yeah, of course. But it's as though, because I'm not paying for the subscriptions and sponsorships and all that sort of shit and advertising, I'm stuck in the oversaturated field that is a podcast at the minute. But I always go back to default, and like, that's not why I started it. I didn't start it to become super famous and stuff. I started
to have
a good conversation, like, and fix me noggin.
Yeah, and that's it, isn't it? Like, you have to stay in that mindset, otherwise you do what we've done over the last 4 months and you just stop.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It's meant to
yeah.
be fun.
Yeah, the amount of like times that I've like not had a weekly guest, or you've been busy as well, or Christmas being busy, you know, the go-tos if I'm struggling to find anyone. And I've gone,
thank you.
And I'm like, well, what's the point? But then I'm like,
yeah,
but that's not why I start. Get your head out your ass. Remember the fucking reason why. And think positive, man.
Yeah, but it's not even in that fucking bullshit, like, positivity bollocks. It's just like, if you enjoy doing something, just do it. It's like, if it's not hurting anybody, just do it. Like, the thing with like your podcast is you don't have any out there views. You're not an Andrew Tate. Is it that right? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not
Andrew Tate. That's how he stands and sits. That's his power stance.
Oh, I've just seen you've got your go faster flames on your arm.
Oh yeah, go faster flames. Super fast.
can I level with you? When you sent me the picture yesterday,
you were like, "What the fuck is that?"
do you remember? I hate this because I think I rip all of your tattoos, but
but it's fine.
What I thought it was, and this is like, I learned this on Friday when I gave you a call, and I was. Like, the way my silly brain works is actually quite funny at times. And it's, as long as I share it and I'm not being horrible, it's actually quite funny. And what I thought...
It's not JLS.
No. What I thought you'd had tattooed was, do you remember in, like, the early 2000s, like, the black shirts with the flames coming
with
up?
With the flames.
I thought that's what you had done. And I was like... Oh my god, what's happening? That's why it took me a while to reply, because I was like, it can't be. And I was zooming in trying to figure out what it was. And I was like, you just got flames on this. Are you Kid Rock?
Why have you got flames? I was got in the car, and the girls got in. Jess was all, you know, oh, dad, your tattoo looks nice. I was like, oh, cheers. Sophia went, why have you got Winnie the Pooh tattooed on you? I was like, Winnie the Pooh? She went, yeah, orange and red. She looks like Winnie the Pooh. Fucking Winnie the Pooh. Fuck off.
Oh, brilliant. I think Fee thinks very similar to me, doesn't she?
She does. Yeah. She's very artistic, as like you as well. Fucking. Yeah, she's brilliant.
Hey, here's one for you, and I don't know if this is
Go for it.
Because I'm 40 now, but just as a heads up for you, in case this is actually a male thing, and maybe I need to go get my testosterone checked or something. Why do I well up at everything?
I don't know. I'm getting there as well. Look,
Sean, I went to watch the production of We Will Rock You at Bishop's the other day. And it was a brilliant show. There was a few hiccups. Yes, did they set off the fire alarms? Did we have to evacuate for the first song?
Oh.
Yes. Because Harry Sutton, who I think
I
you
know
would...
Harry Sutton.
I think you do, yeah. But you definitely recognise
him. His dad it was a science teacher.
Yeah, maybe.
For a chair at Matthew Poulton at college.
Oh.
Had a breakdown.
Bless him. Well, anyway, he left because they obviously, because of the type of production it is, they, as you walked in, they had a smoke machine going to sort of create like the cool lighting, and he left it on full for too long. So as soon as people started coming in and opening the doors, the smoke starts bellowing out into the rest of the building. Georgie's friend Jasmine comes on just as she starts belting out this song. Dee, 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 dee. We all had to go outside. But when they restarted, when it got to, like, they do the initial song and it's like, hey, well done. When it actually came to, like Jasmine's first song, I literally went,
it's not even
because,
yours.
And no, it's not. But like, there was so many people in that production that spend time around at my house. I would like, but it's so weird because why does pride make me go at the moment? Like, I don't understand, because you put the Welsh national anthem on, ready for the rugby.
Yeah.
Tears in my eyes. Why? What the fuck is that about?
I don't know.
That used to be like, yeah, let's go. Now it's just like, God, I'm so proud.
I'm so proud to be almost Welsh.
Tear. Like, I don't understand it. I don't. But
I love it. I had it after the last game at Sands. For some reason. Just cried.
Yeah, but
I was like, oh, God.
But that was a great... I mean, I think this Hereford one is going to blow your mind. I genuinely do.
I think so.
Because I've talked about it with Lana for a long time, over the fact that the events that you've done in Kent have been amazing, and they've raised money for the different charities. It's been good to be involved in it. But if you bring it back to Hereford, where people that you've grown up with are available to actually come to it.
Yeah.
Then it's going to be a completely different type of event. And there's so many things already that, like, Biffo's been amazing. Like, and his responding to you and stuff is just like that's why people love Biff.
Yeah.
Because of the man that he is.
And that really helps as well, because obviously down here, as much as like Dan and Chris helped out as much as they could,
yeah,
like, I've done what I need to do my end in terms of getting certain raffle prizes that I can get, the posts that I do, the videos and all that sort of stuff. That's the easy stuff. But having Biffo there, that I can go, Biffo, you don't mind going around to so-and-so and putting out some posters? He's like, yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
Bosh. And getting his connections that he's got to get people,
but also I think I can't confirm this right now. I mean, you might be able to, but I think Biffo does a lot for charity anyway.
Yes,
and he's used to doing that.
He works closely with the Samaritans, I believe.
It's not even like a connection thing. It's like his knowledge of like this is what you need to do for this.
Hmm.
It would be a good idea if we did this because I've seen it done this way before.
Well, it was his idea.
It's no different to when I'm at work and we get these advisors come in and they come up with these ideas. And you think, well, yeah, that makes sense to do it that way. But when you're just sat there on your own trying to do it and trying to put on, because it's quite a large scale, like it doesn't necessarily feel like it, but it is actually quite a large scale event to hire out a stadium, to fill that stadium with at least. And
a massive shout out to Westfields on that one, because they're letting us have it.
Yeah.
Because as soon as I asked them, they went, is it for charity? I was like, yeah. And they, yeah, have it. Brilliant. So a massive shout out
and
to
Westfields.
And it's
going to be on grass. It's going to be on grass,
oh, mate.
Mate,
we played Sunday on the 3G at Elsford. Oh, fucking hell, my legs were hurting afterwards. My knee was all right, but...
I think that you're like the more and more they start bringing these 3G pitches in, the less time people are going to play. You're not going to see people playing into their late 30s because it is brutal on your body in comparison, like
onto your feet.
Yeah, yeah. Like because I play football, and I mean not for the last few weeks, but on a Monday, and. Yeah, I'm getting older, but fucking hell, the niggles you get from, it's gonna sound a little bit bloody like I'm being the old bastard here, but it's not a natural surface, so no. I don't think your body is designed to react to the way that a 3G pitch.
No, definitely not.
Makes your body move, if you know what I mean. Like, example, when Dan bust his leg. If that was on grass, that probably wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Because the surface doesn't work the way
the natural surface would. Like, grass gives. If you put your foot down, it will give a little bit.
You'll slide slightly. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. We're not robots. So our body, it's a bit like the whole reward system. Like, if you go for a run, you feel good because your body is designed to do that.
Yeah.
Even if you don't want to do it. So, therefore, when you've done your run, you feel good afterwards because your body's gone, there's a natural reward system here. I think it's the same when you use these. It's a bit like... Because I'm going to start getting some miles in with the running, but I'm really torn on running shoes because I know how bad the new style of running shoes with the big heel and the big foam bits.
Yeah.
That's not good for your
no. Yeah, my
biomechanics. It's just not.
Biomechanics. Wow.
I am pinging all over the shop here, aren't I? But
like that.
Yeah. So
they're supposed to be running shoes. I just use them for the gym.
But
I don't do road running in them.
With like gym, for example.
Oh, how awkward is this, by the way? There we go.
With like going to the gym, like I started just wearing chucks to the gym or training barefoot.
I'm gonna have one.
Oh,
I can have one.
I'm going to need to go to the fridge in a minute. I'm nearly out. But yeah, it improved my gym work tenfold, not wearing your regular like gym shoes.
Yeah.
Because it would hurt. You're lifting from funny angles because your feet are tilting forward. And I just wonder with running, if I was to get these like padded shoes, given that what I was saying about like the unnatural surfaces, that's an unnatural surface. Because I'm not a regular runner, if I start wearing these newfangled £150 running shoes, that's potentially going to knacker up my calves, my ankles, which have probably got wear and tear already.
I think that might be one of the reasons that I pull up with the cramp that I get when I'm playing on the 3G. Like, both calves go.
Yeah.
And normally, if I'm like running around and doing like interval training or fartlek training or anything like that, that's similar. I don't get that. Or if I'm playing basketball, I don't get that.
Yeah, it might be. We're onto something. We're onto something.
I got, well, mate, I played 90 minutes on fucking Sunday. Don't know how I did it. But I was very strict with myself. So I was playing as the striker along with Big Stu. And previously in the other games that we've played, I've started to go deeper and deeper to try and get the ball.
Yeah.
But I was like, no, I gotta, otherwise there's no one up there. I need to be more strict with myself while I was playing. And we did that, and you know, got some goals, didn't we, kid? Got some goals.
Screamer, I heard.
But I was a screamer. But we'll talk about that in a second. But it was nice because the team that we played were almost the same level. They played a few more times together as a collective, but it was similar standard, similar age, and they knew it was for fun. So it was like a competitive fun game, and that's all we wanted, you know. They had a couple of ringers, we had a couple of ringers, but it wasn't to the point where they made the difference.
Yeah. I think that's it with these charity games. Like, we've spoke about it before, that the way Sands did, like, conducted themselves, should we say, by fielding the team that they did. I mean, that was bollocks.
Yeah. The worst one we had was, as much as we enjoy using their pitch, the Aylesford social team, that was a piss take. They had first team players playing and players that play in the Veterans League at like Division 1 level or whatever.
Yeah.
And they play literally week in, week out. And we're like, we've played once or twice, some of us, together as a whole. Most of our team are actually missing.
It's I kind of get it, but it's also a bit like, what is the point in that?
Yeah.
What have you just proved, that your players that play regularly can beat a load of lads that just get together every now and again? Like, well done. Well done.
Mazel tov. But it was funny on Sunday when, so they went 1-0 up, and then Big Stu equalised on the half volley near the 6-yard box, and we went fucking mental. Like, celebrating, and all their lads on the bench are like, why are you guys celebrating so much? Like, it's 1-1. And they went, this is the first goal we have scored ever. So we went mental.
Hold on, can you pause this? Because I'm getting a phone call off work.
Yeah, mate. Oh. And the internet's gone funny, isn't it? Are we back? Is it recording?
Note to self. Put phone on do not disturb.
Is it my interweb or yours? I'm back. Yeah. Fucking piece of shit. Piece of shit. Kick me out. But we're back. So
we're back. Yeah. Yeah. Note to self: put phone on do not disturb.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't even remember where we got to.
No.
Well.
We were talking about footy and Westfields being great.
Being great. Yeah, yeah.
It's a decent club, Westfields, mate. Like, I became a Peggy lad, purely because when I was at Westfields, it didn't have an under 18 side.
Yeah.
So I sort of jumped ship and started playing adult football. But from what I can remember, when I was there, it was just, even when it was at Rotherhurst in that random like shed.
Loved it there.
He's ringing me. I'm not answering it.
Yeah, I because I played as soon as I left Tupsy Pegasus, I went to Westfields up until under 14s, 15, under 16s, maybe. That's when I sort of was I wasn't getting played as much, so that's when I got the call to go to Marriott's and start men's football. But then I came back for the under 18s. That's when they first introduced the under 18s into Westfields in the Floodlit League. Yeah, that was good. That was good. But I've it was weird because at the time I would have been just, well, 17, just 18, and it was you're one of the older lads.
Yeah.
And I felt because I was playing in men's football, I felt like that. Do you know what I mean? I felt bigger.
Yeah.
I wasn't. I was still tiny.
It is a funny one, the whole under 18 thing, because you do start a year before you probably are of age, because it's not usually it's not an under 17, so you go from under 16 to under 18 and you start playing with the players that were the year above you.
Yeah.
So that when you are that on the other side of that, when you're the older one in the under 18, when you're actually under 18, that there it like for a lot of people, there is a huge jump in physicality and stuff from being the 16-year-old to the basically the 18-year-old. Is it that year,
there is a big jump,
2 years?
Yeah.
Some people like can do it from 16, they are like physically. I mean, you must remember playing like youth sports, and as soon as puberty hits, some lads became men, and you're playing like
we know from just playing rugby, all of a sudden, there was lads that were in the forwards, and you're like, Jesus Christ, you're a giganticus,
yeah.
And I think, never got those legs.
No, but the thing is, right, I think that, I mean, maybe it's like a natural thing, but if you think about all of the people who played various sports, it doesn't have to be rugby, football, it could be basketball, it could be cricket. I think you lose a lot of talented people during that sort of 12 to 15 year old, because they don't physically grow as much as other people who are potentially less talented.
Yeah.
And by the time they do start to physically catch up with those people, their interest in it has gone, because they're like, I mean, I remember having a conversation. I think
I was going to say you had it when you were rugby, wasn't it? Year seven.
Well, no, it was. What I was going to say was, I remember having a conversation with mum and dad. I was still playing for Tupsley Pegasus before I moved to Westfields, and now a good mate of mine, Steve Williams, was basically a man. And every time we played Leinster, he would be playing on the left-hand side of their attack, where I was playing right back. And I remember coming back after a game, I think we lost like 7-0 or something like horrendous, and being like, I don't think I can do this anymore. Because what's the point if, like, I can have a couple of good games and then
I've got to play
Leinster again, and... Like, I can't do anything about it. And you know, Dad gave me good advice actually. He said, "Well, then you've got to change how you react to that," which was good advice. But I could see why, if somebody didn't have parents that could give that advice, they would be like, "Nah, quit, I'm not doing it." And that would have been mental.
Yeah,
if I'd stopped playing football at like 12, 13 years old, just because I felt physically inept. Not giving myself time to not only grow physically but mentally, in terms of, all right, I'm going to be playing against this 6 foot 13 Monster. Year old.
It's mental.
How do I overcome the fact that he's physically stronger, faster than me? And I did.
Yeah,
you could ask Steve, and he would tell you he fucking hated playing against me because I would find a way to overcome those things.
Kate's brother Matt made a good point once, and it was to do with short people and how good they are in the air and winning headers and things like that. And he went, it's solely down to the fact they had to jump to win the ball, where tall people just thought, I'll just flick that on. He said it.
Yeah, I reckon.
Because Matt said he used to always have the hardest trouble was playing against a short centre forward when he was playing centre back, because he knew that they would be jumping all over him. Because he's, I was like, yeah, good point.
Yeah. But if you think about it, that's probably, like, without getting too technical, that's probably an evolutionary thing, in the fact that if you look at someone like Peter Crouch's standing jump is probably not very big. Because he never had to.
Yeah, just.
Whereas if you spend exactly, but if you spend your entire time, every time you go training and there's heading drills or basketball, if there's layup drills, and you have to jump higher in order to complete the task, then you will get a bigger standing jump. You just will.
Yeah.
And if you look, like, for example, when I play football on a Monday, my throw-in always confuses everybody that I'm playing with.
We did that on Sunday as well. It was me and one other lad that had a long throw-in.
Also, they'll put a ball in, and there's lads that are obviously taller than me, and you're talking like 6 foot, 6 foot two, but I will win the ball in the air 90% of the time.
Right in the air.
I know, like, I do love a header.
Beat him in, yeah.
Why is that still a thing for me? When I sit, like, we've got a lad that we're training from Shrewsbury at the moment, and he's probably about 5'11", 6 foot. My immediate thought was I definitely beat him in the air. Looking at the guy, I don't even know if he's ever played football. He might have done, but
it doesn't matter.
I literally, like, my first thought was, I could beat him in here. Definitely get a flick on over him.
Oh, I had one on Sunday. The ball was coming in, and I heard the centre half saying, like, he called his name. He was like, Tim's. And I went out loud, I went, I've turned you. Because he's come in, and the ball's coming towards me, and I literally just dropped the shoulder, rolled him. And I almost started giggling as I ran off, because I was like, turned you. I was loving it. I should have shouted Shearer when I hit that ball.
Gerard! Aguero!
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Less of that. Oh, brilliant. I love football, mate. But you're right in the fact that obviously the development side of things, I think I was lucky in my sort of development in terms of the team sports that I played, rugby, basketball, football, because I had older brother syndrome. Like, I had to try and compete with you, especially when I had that net out in the garden. Never beat you. Don't know why. Couldn't do it. It's probably the bigger brother syndrome, as they say, that it's always a struggle.
But also, like, there's a 4-year age difference.
Yeah.
That's
So I'm
that's not
trying
just
to compete with
that's not
someone
just
who's
but
4
that's
years
not just
older than me.
physical. It's mental. It's like I've seen this before. I know what you're going to try and do because I've had 4 years more experience of doing it.
Yeah. And then
So,
obviously, in terms of my basketball development, going to Tuxley Charges every, I don't know, whatever day it was you guys used to train, and training with you, well, you were
Thursday, I think.
You were teenagers, though, weren't you? Because you were playing in the men's league as teenagers, which.
Yeah, we were like year 11.
And I was playing with you guys when I was in year 6 at Hampton Dean.
Yeah.
It's just a shame I never grew. But yeah, I was always playing above myself. So physicality wise, I was there
always. But then when you came to play,
yeah, when I played my own year,
your own.
Physically I could handle myself, and yeah, I don't know. Because you played quite a decent level at football anyway, but I always found that I probably playing the amount of sports that I did could have been a bit of a disadvantage in the fact that I never mastered one particular. I think if we focused solely,
there's also studies now that say that you
shouldn't master
shouldn't
one,
not when you're young. Because you naturally will go to the sport that you're most comfortable in. For example, in the States, they've seen that the top NFL players cross-trained, and they would do like a season of American football, then they would do a season of basketball, season of wrestling. Whereas, like, if you think about it, well, it's a tough one, isn't it? Because if you're a David Beckham or even a Peter Crouch, and you're obsessive over one thing, and all you do is that one thing all the time, then inevitably you'll be going to become very good at that one thing. You know, if the first thing you're thinking of is football, I want to watch Match of the Day. I want to watch the live games. I want to, as soon as it's light enough, I want to go out and take my football with my younger brother or my mates. Then, like that has in itself.
I still want to do that now.
but also if you think about it, like, is it Usyk? The boxer, I think it's him. I might be getting confused with somebody else.
Lomachenko, you're thinking of,
and his dad made him do ballet,
yeah,
for a whole year, and his footwork.
Oh, he's in the Matrix.
It's incredible. Now, if he had never done the ballet, he would have that skill set. So I suppose there's arguments for both, really, because you could say that, okay, maybe you feel like you didn't get to a point in any one sport that you feel like you could have got to, but maybe you did in all of those sports.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Yeah,
because if you actually think about it, with regards to like rugby, for example. If you'd focused on rugby, would you have got any higher than playing for Hereford Rugby Club?
Yeah.
Don't know.
Yeah,
don't
yeah,
know.
I wouldn't.
But that is no different to playing for Pegasus Westfields. It's the same level.
Yeah, I
so
get you.
Did you essentially do that on all of those sports because you were a fairly talented sports person?
Yeah, I get you.
Do you know what I mean? Like with the different clubs that I played for in football, that might have just been circumstantial anyway. But going over and playing in Wales, going and playing for Pegasus first team, that doesn't mean that I was any better of a footballer than you. That might have just been that Pegasus at the time needed me.
Needed bod. Yeah. Okay. I still feel quite bad for US Harold in the fact that they didn't, they, although they probably still don't, I don't know what the gen is these days, but the funding and whatnot to build like a little, because didn't they need like a stand and the floodlights to go up
Yeah.
the leagues? Yeah, I
This
thought
is
so.
something we've talked about before, where
It's mental because how good that team was.
yeah,
And playing
but
against them, fucking hell, playing against them.
what is annoying about the English FA is, and it's also you can see why they have it in place when you see its progression in the leagues and the different capacities and the safety and all that. Like you see why they do it, but it stifles teams like the US Harold because it's a village team. Like, where are they supposed to get the money from to start doing these things? Because they can't get it because you won't allow them to have more people go there to pay to watch the games, etc.
So they can't
So it's like
get
a
a funding to then generate to produce a
precisely, yeah,
stand.
it's, yeah.
It's mad, mate. Fuck it, what a team.
And the thing is with, oh,
Oh, you've frozen in a really funny position.
hang on.
Oh, yeah, you're back. You froze like fucking Professor X, mate. Am I back now?
Yeah, you're back.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's but also, I get what you're saying with the whole US Arrow thing, but also I think the part of the romance is that they can't. But it's like you can still send
It's like the
Hereford
what if.
United to US Harold in a County Cup game, and Hereford
Yeah.
United are going to fucking hate it because those players possibly are at a similar standard, but they don't give a fuck about you, mate, and they will put you on your ass and they'll take the yellow card. And part of the romance of that is the fact that it's just a football team on the village rec.
Horrible pitch. Horrible pitch.
I learned to love that pitch.
But brilliant team. Like, hands down.
Yeah.
Like,
Well,
some of the hardest
got
games playing against them.
a couple of them have joined the zero.
Oh, yeah. Coop and Cooper
Come.
Tompkins and Darren William.
Yeah.
Also, I will 100% accept the fine for getting Connor Peacock's shirt wrong. You haven't seen it, have you? So I've
No.
given the list to Kit Lord to get the kit made. And for some reason, Connor Peacock's name is in full on the list. Everyone else has got like just a surname, or if, for example,
Yeah.
me and you, we've got S Thompson, D Thompson. His is full Connor Peacock. But Connor is spelt wrong. I'll take the fine. I'll take the fine.
The thing is
Connor
about that
Connor
is
Peacock.
I'm never going to just call him Connor. I'm only
Full
going to
name.
call him Connor Peacock.
He's that
Connor
player
Peacock, do
now.
you want a pint?
He's that player that you have like Sully March for fucking Brighton. Why are you full naming him? Oh, fucking dickhead. But yeah. Yeah, I think we've got a decent side. I know the Hereford team will be decent as well.
So
I think it'll be a nice game.
what we're saying about Coops's pictures.
Oh, mate, I don't think he understands how many fines he's racking up. Oh,
But also fair play to him. He has put some work
yeah,
in.
he's put some work in, and also probably I wouldn't walk around wearing a t-shirt if
Yeah.
I was ripped.
He was in the army for a bit, wasn't he, Coops? Was he rifles with
Yeah, he was
Steph?
in the rifles. Yeah. Don't know if he was with Steph, but... Oh, there's another US Herald. Steph.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you froze. I thought you... You froze, but it looked like you were as if to...
What
You
happened?
froze, but you were frowning at me as if to go, what have you got in play? Oh, yeah, Steph. Oh. Oh, brilliant. Decent keeper again. We've always had good keepers.
Brinley, yeah.
Bryn Larr.
He's got. I need to meet up for him for a pint. He only lives up the road, literally, like a few doors down. We seem to see each other only in the Humming Garden.
Just there, getting the
Yeah, we
Chinese.
go. I'll go randomly on a Friday if I got a Friday night off, and Bryn is always in there on a Friday, and we end up walking back to where we live together, talking about like, yeah, we should definitely meet up for a pint.
Never do.
Never do.
Fucking love football.
It's got to be your internet.
Oh, it is. It's because I'm so far away from the actual thing.
All right. We spoke about this briefly before, but it's not necessarily just the footy, is it? It's
It's everything.
The dressing room. Do you know what? I genuinely like, because I play football every Monday, and what I miss is playing football and going to the pub and talking about it afterwards. And that's all you talk about, is just football. You
Brilliant.
don't start talking about how shit your day was at work or anything like that. You're just like, oh, did you see me Meg such and such? He was a bit of a twat. He went in a bit hard on so and so.
Yeah,
Do you know what I mean?
we had it on Sunday and it was brilliant. So even from the start, getting into the change rooms, I put all the shirts out. And yeah, just the banter straight away. We obviously got on the pitch, started playing, and yeah, it was great. But afterwards, so one of the funny moments was fucking Lee Smith. He was a bit late into a tackle and caught the lad who started whinging. Ah, fucking hell. Straight away, Lee was, that's twice, isn't it? That's twice that.
I missed that entire story, other than somebody went in a bit hard and somebody
Yeah,
didn't.
So Lee Smith went in a bit hard, a bit late. I think he's just down to his age, just lateness. Straight away, he was like, yeah, sorry, mate. And the bloke started gobbing off back to him. And it was the most aggressive apology I've ever heard afterwards. Like, Lee went full mini Hulk and went, I fucking said sorry, you cunt. And I was like, whoa. It's a friendly. Oh, madness. And then I just pulled out. I went, they're just arguing over who's got more hair. So many bold players these days. So many. Not like you, though.
Not me.
Not even a little bit.
Are you in? Hey?
There's so much hair on your head.
I know. Are you in the group that Biffo set up with all of his players?
No.
Oh, I am. And Raji, so Biffo shared in this WhatsApp group the video that you put up. There's a picture of me looking old. There's a picture of you with like all the music
looking fat.
Going. And Raji's comment, I think it was Raji, put, fuck me, are we playing a bunch of Vikings? And so I put like a laughing emoji on it. And his next comment was, maybe they can sail up the river and go and play fucking Ross then.
Fucking Ross. I'm the hardest man in Ross. Fucking Ross. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait.
And you got
Genuinely.
The away kit sorted?
Yeah, mate. It is sexy.
Have you physically got it now?
Yes. It's in the car, so I can't even just whip it out.
Yeah, it's probably for the best, isn't it? Do you like my football?
Yeah, I've been looking at that going, that's cool.
Do you see what it is?
It's Highbury, mate. Good team. Good team, Arsenal.
Highbury United.
Highbury United.
The Woolwich Arsenal.
Tell you what, they need to have a little word with the sports pundits and media, I think. The fact that they've written Arsenal off, or it seems like they have.
Well, even the supercomputer has.
It makes no sense. Like, you are the team in form.
Yeah.
You've conceded like two goals in your last. Oh, I sent you that stat.
It's it's good. I mean, we have.
It's probably doing you guys a world of good, to be fair.
Other than Liverpool, the rest of the teams are the teams that we should beat. It's just the amount of goals that we're scoring at the moment. And
just remember, you need a striker.
Well, I think it was Declan Rice said in an interview, he was like, we've been playing this way all year. Inevitably, the goals will come. Everybody's saying we need a nine. It's like, we've got one. We've got Gabriel Jesus. Just because he's not banging in the goals that Haaland is, the team are still scoring the goals. Like, we've got Eddie Nketiah. No, he's not Erling Haaland. But he still does a job and he's still part of that team. And
I don't think the way that you play, I don't think you really need.
I mean, there is an argument for, all right, if you're scoring that many goals without a nine, how many would you score if you had a decent striker? But
Arsenal never really had a nine, apart from maybe Ian Wright.
But if you, when you actually think
also,
about it,
why do we keep calling it a nine? Oh, he's playing eight.
That's what they do now.
Centre midfield.
It's because of FIFA. That's
it's like they say a six, and then I'm like, do you mean a four? Do you mean a Patrick Vieira?
Have I still got my number four?
Yes. Squad numbers. Yep. All the new players get fucking 23.
Beckham.
Yeah. But
Jordan.
He gets slept on, you know. Vieira.
David Beckham.
Beckham.
Vieira.
Yeah. In the debate for the best centre midfielders, it's always Scholes, Gerrard, Lampard, and now Kevin De Ginger.
Yeah, they like, Vieira doesn't ever come into the conversation.
And nor does Keane.
World Cup winner and Euros winner, Patrick Vieira,
doesn't get a look in. And I always have the argument with Keane, along with Vieira. Keane is, I think he actually is, statistically, he is the most successful Manchester United captain.
Yeah.
There's reason for that. But people don't watch football anymore. They go off stats, don't they? Oh, but yes. His pass percentage is far higher. It's like, but have you seen Roy Keane? He never passed it backwards or sideways.
Yeah. Things have always changed forward. And like every generation says that the new generation is not.
Yeah, yeah. In my day,
it's different. It is different. It's like, I do like going and playing football with people and then going and having a pint with them.
Mm.
When I was like 27, 28, this new generation came through and they never went to the pub.
Don't have the sausage and chips after the game.
Sausage, I fucking love sausage and chips.
Mate, how good is the quote, by the way? The chips always taste better when you win. You're like, fucking right, they do.
Do you I think you were playing, I can't remember what team I was playing. It must have been a Peggy team. We went to Leinster, we beat Leinster, and we had Archways, and Jimmy Clyde was there.
Yeah, I was there. Yeah.
Do you remember? And
I'd
got like six sausages and like two chips. I prefer the sausage part of the sausage and chips.
You want to get
he was like,
as much sausage as possible.
Tomo, do you know how much fat is in a sausage? And he was like berating me for being like a gym instructor
and having
eating
a sausage.
Sausages. And he was like, do you know how much fat is in a sausage? And I was like, off the top of my head, no, Jim. And he was like, gave me the grammage. And I was like, all right. And he said, you think you should be eating that as a trainer? And I went, I just want to eat my sausage. He went, I fucking love sausages. Proceeded to eat the sausages.
Oh, I remember that game, actually. Funnily enough, I got a booking.
Yeah.
My first ever booking at Leinster.
Did I tell you, I found out something that I've been waiting to find out for like fucking hell, nearly 20 years. So obviously Joe died recently, didn't he? So I was talking to Tommy quite a bit, just making sure he was all right, and tried distracting him a little bit by coming up with like, God, do you remember when we did this? Do you remember this? Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And I said to him, I said, Gaffer, I've got to ask you. My final season at US Harold, I didn't pay a single yellow card fine. Did you pay them? And he was like, of course I fucking did. That's what I needed you to do. And I was like, I fucking, like, I knew it because I was always like, I got booked. Like, I've had no letter.
I've had no letter.
So obviously, the FA would always send out the letters to the club.
Coach
and the
it,
club
and then they would give it,
give it to you and be like, you owe us 12 quid, whatever it was. And I never, like, and to the point that I think I was suspended twice due to accumulation
of
of
bookings,
yellow
mate.
cards. And I didn't pay
That's
for
at least
one.
10. That's at least 10.
Yeah.
Oh, 80 quid in fines.
Yeah.
Or 120
and
quid,
Tom
depending
paid them
on
all.
what would it. Jesus.
Tom paid them all.
Do you know what I've just noticed, Ed? Have you noticed you've got that one manager who is your gaffer? Like you just said, Tommy Taylor. You refer to him as gaffer.
Yeah.
Mine's Matt Priest.
Yeah.
Matt Priest is the gaffer.
Well, Matt Priest is in my phone as gaffer from when he was to do with Peggy Premside. And I found out actually from Chalky, I didn't realise this, but all of your Marriott's games, plus all of the Peggy Premside when Matt was involved with it, even Chalky, who was playing, would go and have like 3 pints in the barrels. Before they would go to the game.
Yeah.
There was me having
Lucozade.
My Lucozade and scrambled eggs on toast. They were getting ripped right up.
Yeah. Doesn't surprise me.
You know, I couldn't do that. I couldn't, not the level I expected myself to play at. There's no way I could go and have a couple of pints before playing.
Yeah. It's also weird when you look at, like, if you go professional players, if we take Roy Keane, for example, when he does his punditry and he's like, oh, I don't like it when they're hugging and kissing in the tunnel, we're going to war. And he had to play on like the edge of and that. And then you look at some of the greatest ever players like Ronaldinho, who's always smiling, happy and hugging. And it's like the different in contrast of.
But you need both.
Yeah. You need
You
the Keane so that
you
you can
can't
let Ronaldinho go and do what he wants.
Exactly. You can't have a team full of Roy Keane.
No. Can you imagine?
Right. But you also can't have a team full of Ronaldinhos. It's the same with like it's actually got a good like parody to like a work setting.
Mm.
You couldn't have seven of me in a kitchen.
Oh no,
because
oh no.
No, you just couldn't. Like, but you need me to be there to organise the rest of them.
Yeah.
And it's the same with any sports. Like, you couldn't have five Dennis Rodmans playing.
No.
But you also couldn't have five Michael Jordans playing. You couldn't have five Scottie Pippins playing, because it.
You need the balance.
You need the individuals, and you need the balance in order for that team to be successful. I mean, Michael Jordan's maybe a bad example, because if you had five Michael Jordans, then you pretty much got it all covered, haven't you? But maybe not. Maybe you do need the Dennis Rodman to be a dickhead. And
if you had five Michael Jordans, that someone would be having a moan, wouldn't they? Because they're not getting the ball.
Yeah, but like I said, like you, if you maybe need that Dennis Rodman for the one time that Michael Jordan's maybe not having a great game, he headbutts somebody, and it takes the focus off Jordan for like 10 minutes for him to get his composure. And then
need someone to do the dirty work as well. Unsung heroes.
What do you make of the comparison of LeBron to Michael Jordan?
Because
the game's different now. They don't defend.
No, and it's a lot. Well, back in the day, it was a lot physical, didn't they? And they even had the Michael Jordan rule that you need to hit him before he takes off, otherwise he's going to score.
Yeah.
And the game's a lot more 3-point orientated as well. But I saw a thing, and it was the best team in Michael Jordan's era, and it was like a picture of the Bulls, and it was like a best team in Kobe Bryant's era, and a picture of Kobe Bryant with the Lakers, and then it had the best team in LeBron's era, and then it had the Golden State Warriors with Steph Curry. It's like, well, you could see that. But it's the same in anything, isn't it? You can't really compare. It's like Wilt Chamberlain.
People say like George Best, and people say, oh, he would like, yeah, but would he? Because of the way he conducted himself, he probably wouldn't make it in today's game.
No, he wouldn't. He probably, yeah.
And the reason that he was
good.
He'd
be flushed out.
But the reason that he was good is he had the natural talent, but also he was probably a bit pissed when he was playing. So, but that wouldn't cut it today.
No.
Because it's physically fit those.
I think it was in the sort of when he got to the end of his time at United. I think it was the season they actually got relegated. He was turning up pissed, and the coach was like, "Well, you're obviously not playing because you're pissed."
Yeah.
Where back in like when he first came through, that was fine because they were winning all the games. They were they had Bobby Charlton there, and he was sort of again the balance. You've got the flair player.
Same with Gazza. Like Gazza, yeah. On talent alone, could he play in the modern game? Yes. But the way he was.
Yeah.
You've slowed down and you're just staring deep into my soul right now.
I know. It's because my internet is unstable. I think we're back.
Oh, we're back. We're back.
Oh, we're back, yeah. But you're right, yeah. Well, are we not back? Are we? Episode 198. The glitchy episode. Are we back?
Kind of.
Kind of.
You're very pixelated, but
I think we're back. I think we're back. No. No, we're not. Or are we?
Yes, I think we are.
Yeah. Or just a two-part doc on Gazza. And just he was mental.
Yeah,
we're not. And there was a game that he played for Lazio, and like the night before he went off to like Disneyland or something and got smashed. Am I back? Or am I still cutting in and out? Fucking internet. Am I back? I can't tell if I'm back or not. I'm back now, though. No?
Hope so.
Anyway, Gazza went to Disneyland and came back the day of the match for Lazio and played against Maradona, and they were both absolutely smashed when they played. And
Okay.
Gazza scored a brilliant goal, and then they got to the end of the game. They're in the change room. They were talking about his goal, and he went, "I don't even remember scoring." That's mental. You didn't get any of
Oh
that, did you? You didn't get any of that story, did you?
my God.
Oh.
All I got was yo.
Oh, fucking hell. Gazza scored. He was pissed. Didn't remember the goal. End of story.
Right, okay.
Fucking hell. Anyway.
You keep freezing.
Oh, for the I'm not I'm done. I'm done. Now, genuinely though, I gotta go. I gotta go do the food shop and whatnot. Fucking internet. What is going on? Why have you paused like Megamind?
Guys and girls, you've reached the adverts. Now, welcome. For me, I like to use CBD oil, and there's nothing better than Kent CBD. So make sure you check them out. I'll use them to help with my PTSD, my depression, and my anxiety. I use the oil. It is fantastic. Highly recommend it. But not only that, I use their muscle rubs for the aches and pains that I get in my joints, especially my knees and my ankles. I rub that shit in, and it's fucking brilliant. So make sure you check them out. Put in the promo code GRANITE0 at checkout and get yourself 10% off. You're welcome. But not only that, if you like to support veteran-owned companies like I do, make sure you check out Green Beret Coffee and get yourself 10% off there at checkout. They are roast to order and it's top quality and everything goes back to the company itself. Fantastic. Green Beret Coffee, put in the promo code GZPODCAST 10 for your 10% discount. Now, recently, Granite Zero has become an affiliate, a family member of HR4K. So, if you want to support another fantastic veteran-owned company, put in the promo code Granite Zero at checkout at HR4K, all their products, and enjoy them. I wear them, I support them most episodes. They are brilliant. They help support many other companies, they help to support many other veteran charities. They do loads for the veteran community. So if, like me, you like to support them, please put in the promo code GRANITE0 at checkout and get yourself 10% off. I'm too good to you, and I'll see you guys soon.